I will follow him is the title this morning. I will follow him. Nothing else. No other voices. I'll follow him. Any of you ever have different voices in your head going on? Devil's always talking, isn't he? We've got to be very careful that we tune him out. We don't let his thoughts take root in our spirit. Because the devil has a lot of vocabulary he uses, a lot of words he uses, and he talks all the time. The devil's always reminding us of what we're not, always reminding us of our past, our failures, always reminding us of what might happen, always reminds us of what we have done wrong and missed the mark and done this and that. But as we've sung that song this morning, the devil is under our feet. Jesus has conquered. We serve him. We live in him. Our victory's in him. So we need to follow him. You know, if you're leading someone, they don't know where they're going. You know, like Mike and Pam are here. If I say, hey, let's go down to Randy's Barbecue for lunch. And they're like, where's that at? Just follow me, right? I would lead the way. And if they don't make it there, it's their fault. It ain't the shepherd's. Because the shepherd took them the exact way to get the parking lot, the front door, front spot of Randy's Barbecue. And you know what? They didn't follow. So they end up at Greg's Barbecue, which ain't near as good. Sorry, y'all. So, I thought this is where I wanted to go. Well, why did you go that way? Well, I just figured, well, that's your problem, Mike. You figured. You didn't follow the shepherd. You figured. Sometimes we try to figure out things. They're just following the shepherd. I know Bill did a whole series in Sunday school about the shepherd in Psalms 23 of how important the shepherd is and what the role of the shepherd is. Well, Jesus is our chief shepherd. And you know what a job of a shepherd is to protect and to fight for, and to lead, and to keep safe. A shepherd's role is to watch over his sheep. Well, I'm one of God's sheep. I'm one of his flock. And I trust that my shepherd knows what's best for my life more than anybody else does. And we got to be very careful that we don't let different voices come in. If it's not the voice of God, we don't need to listen to it. Even good people with good intentions, the devil can use them. So we got to be very careful to even take their words if it doesn't line up with God's word. So let's get into John 10 this morning, starting with verse 7. Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Verse 9 is a key verse. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." There's nothing an old cow likes more. Now, I don't know. I've not talked to a cow lately. But I'm assuming by their behavior, there's nothing a cow likes more than being in a big old pasture full of some grass. And he'll chew and eat of that grass all day long. When that spot's bare, guess what? He moves over. Get that? He moves over and starts eating again. And when that spot's bare, he moves to another spot and starts eating that. That cow is going to go where there's grass to eat. Our shepherd leads us to a place where all of our needs are met. Pasture means our needs are met. There is plenty for us to partake of. He's got exactly what you need. See, Chuck had a need last week, and God helped him through that situation. I didn't have that same need. I didn't about go to jail, thank God. But I had different needs, and God put me in the pasture for my life that I was supposed to have. God will lead you, if you follow him, to where he wants you to be. Quit trying to be the tour guide and say, what about, you ever know those folks? We all know them. There's some of y'all in here this morning. You're know-it-alls. Know-it-all. Now, I'm far from know-it-all. If I don't know it, I'm going to tell you that. Jeannie and Barbara asked me a question after Sunday school. They said, hey, I want to ask you something. And did I tell you? I said, I'm not sure. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. I didn't try to act smarter than I am. Because they don't work. I said, I got to research it. I'll get back to you. We have a know-it-all mentality of knowing that our lives can be governed a better way than what God can govern our lives. And so we place all of our trust in us, our abilities, our plans, our skills, our, let's get spiritual here, our anointing. And it's not our anointing, it's God's anointing. We are only servants unto the Lord. We can only do what God equips us to do. And we have a shepherd that says, if you will follow me, I will lead you and give you what you need. If you are hungry this morning, the shepherd will feed you. If you're thirsty, the shepherd will give you drink. If you're broken, the shepherd will fix you. If you are scarred, the shepherd will bring healing to you. If you have no peace, you're living in fear, guess what? The shepherd will bring peace to you. He will lead you to where he wants you to be to get what he wants you to have. If you will learn, I'm going to do it God's way. You know, we have a big issue right now going on in our country. And it's not a, this is a spiritual issue in my mind. You can't separate this from the church. But in however, whichever side you fall on, that's your deal. And I'm not going to bash or hate. But I do want to say this. We have a new push now on the abortion issue going on both sides. It's pretty aggressive. You know, and some states are passing laws trying to ban that, and we're having a big issue. Now, I'm proud to say that I absolutely am a pro-life person. With that said, we have people that are saying, I seen a big rally yesterday on the news, and all these women marching with signs and saying we shouldn't be governing what to do with our lives. Hello? Hello? How can we live our lives outside the will of God and expect to find the pasture he has for us? There is a governing rule in place. It is God Almighty. Lord, I want to follow what your word says and what your plan says. And I realize that the life, and I know I'm not a woman and I get that, and I know there are situations that, you know, people say, well, it's not fair. We're not getting all that. I'm saying as a whole, because most time, the highest percentage of abortions are not due to a crisis. They're due to inconvenience. That's all that is. We have a life that God says is precious. The heart begins to beat just a few days after conception. It's a life. I saw this on Facebook and Melanie said, it reminds me of what I said, and it's so true. You see one of them sad dog commercials? You know, Nicole, where's she at? She's a big pet person. Is she in? The ASPAC commercials, or whatever they're called. And the dog's looking sad and they're playing, in the arms of an angel. Don't kill the doggy. I'm pro dogs too, okay? I want you to think I'm some kind of animal slayer. I'm not. But I'm sitting there thinking, we value the life of a dog or an animal or a turtle or even a snake. Man, there's some people who are snake people, man. You touch a snake, they'll go to jail over it, Chuck. Don't you kill that snake. It ain't hurting you. It's a good snake. Leave that snake alone. There ain't no good snake, in my opinion. But anyway, a dead one, yeah. But we see these commercials. And the same women, I'm going to tell you this. I've seen this, church. I'm not lying. I've seen this. The same women that are marching for it's their body and it's my right are most time the same ones that are for the dog commercials. So I'm sitting there thinking, something ain't adding up here. Where is the sanctity of life? God talks about that. So I'm going to follow what my shepherd says, what his word says, and not what I think should be right. God has laid down some rules in our lives, and also he's given us his Holy Spirit, that we can discern what right is from wrong is, and let's follow what right is. Let's follow what God says. There is pasture for you today if you need it. Go to the door and let your shepherd give you what you need. Now, nobody be mad at me for what I said. It is what I said and it is what I believe. And I'm telling you, there's something about life that is precious. And I think no man has the right to take life like that. Innocent life. Now, if someone was trying to kill you, it's a different story, right? But just to take an innocent life because it's an unexpected moment. We must be very careful to follow the shepherd and his plan. Look at verse 10. The thief, which is who? Satan, the devil, the enemy, old Lucifer, pointy-eared. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's the enemy's objective, to take from you, steal from you, and kill. Take away your joy, rob you of your peace, afflict you with fear, distress, discouragement, oppression. That's his job. Man, the more depressed you are, every time, church, as Christians, we shouldn't even let that come out of our mouth. I'm so depressed. You are fueling the enemy's agenda. You really are. Because every time you say that, the devil's like, I got Doc depressed. I got Debbie fussing at him because he's depressed. I got Doc taking 4 times the medication he shouldn't be taking because he's depressed. I have hooked in a minute. I am depressed and an addict. We got to be very careful of what we're listening to. The thief, the devil, the enemy doesn't do anything good for our lives. His objective is to rob us, to steal from us, to attack us, and to keep us bound. But look what Jesus came to do. Polar opposite. I come, Jesus, that they may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. We know as Christians there's a life beyond this life that's much more abundant. There's a life above this life that goes on forever and ever, an eternal state of glory, an eternal state of healing. And the devil can't take that away from us, church. The devil can't come in and steal that away, but he can make you a miserable human being while you're on earth if you let him. No more should we let the devil, because he's under our feet. If he's under our feet, why are we allowing him in our head? If he's under our feet, why are we giving him any kind of credibility or power to operate in our lives? We shouldn't be doing that. We know what his agenda is, and we know that fear is of the devil. We know discouragement is of the devil. We know that hopelessness is of the devil. We know condemnation and guilt is of the devil, because the Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren. Always accusing, pointing that little finger and accusing us of all that we've been and all that we've done. He's a liar. We cannot give credence to the voice of Satan. We must realize what this shepherd came to do. I come to remove that out of your life and give you a life filled with all of my power and all of my glory. I come to give you a life full of joy and full of peace, even in your storm. Even when you have restless nights, the song was saying. Even, you know, there may be tears that come with our deliverance. There may be a lot of trials that come with the birth of our blessing. But that's okay. Because God, you're my shepherd. And wherever you lead, I'm going to go. Have you ever put an address in your GPS and you're traveling along and you begin to question, is that really taking you where you need to go? I've had that happen. Okay, I'm going through the hood up in here. I don't know. I don't see no Revco. Oh, man, I'm telling my age. I don't see no CVS up in here. You know, where's the GPS taking me? You're like, and you know what? Very few times has that ever been wrong. It gets me to where I'm going. It's amazing. If all of a sudden Angela said, I'm going to go to the Elvis Mansion in Nashville, Tennessee today after church, and she puts that address in, gets the address for where that mansion's at, puts the address in, all she's going to do is follow. I mean, they could tell her, turn right. It's a brick wall right there. Turn right. Oh, well, just do what the GPS said. We follow that GPS down to the detail. I do. I'm looking forward to counting down 300 feet, 200 feet, 100 feet, 50 feet, 40 feet, 30 feet. I mean, I'm on that thing. I don't want to miss my turn. Let God, let our shepherd be the GPS of our lives. Just trust him. The path that he takes you on may not be what you think it should be, and it surely may not always be enjoyable, and it may not be the scenic route. I'm telling you, man, God sure didn't take the children of Israel through the scenic route, did he? Should have been a 2-week journey. 2 weeks. Took them 40 years. To get on a 2-week journey.
I mean, my gosh, but that was the journey that God had planned for them to get that nation and that people in a place where he wanted them to be. Trust your shepherd to lead you in the way you should go. He has that abundant life. Look at verse 11. We're talking about Memorial Weekend, right? We're talking about soldiers who have lost their lives in battle. Look at this soldier in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus gave himself up in battle. What was the battle? The battle was between sin and righteousness. Good and evil. Lost and found. Works and grace. There was a battle going on, and Jesus on that cross gave himself up for us. This shepherd gave his life for me, for each of you, that you could have and experience a more abundant life beyond this. We got a lot of folks in the world, maybe not as many in America, but many in the world, that believe in reincarnation, that you come back as something based on the way you lived. So Doc may come back as a frog. And then if he's a good frog, he may come back as a kangaroo. If he's a good kangaroo, he may come back as a giraffe. A good giraffe. There's a doctrine that really teaches that, reincarnation from phase to phase. Of course, I don't believe in that. I believe in that we are recreated in the image of God, and that when we lay down this flesh, that we take on the glorious flesh of, you know, the glorious body of, that God prepared for us. I believe in a one-time transition. You know, I'm gone here, I'm there with him. Over and done. I become a full child of God in the fullness that he had planned for me. But we have people who are still trying to follow their agenda instead of following the good shepherd, realizing I gave my life that you could have a life far above anything you could ever have on your own. See, my strength doesn't come from me, it comes from God. My peace doesn't come from the world, because, man, the peace ain't got no world to give you. It comes from God. My joy sure don't come from the world. Now, there's things in life I enjoy, but it's not where my joy comes from. My healing doesn't come from doctors. My healing comes from the Good Shepherd. Everything in my life points back, God, in your pasture is my physical healing, my emotional healing, my financial healing. It's everything in my life you have for me. And I like what Jewel said. It ain't because of what she said about tithing. I really believe what she says. Trust God no matter what you see. Keep doing what you're doing. Because your love of labor, the Bible says, is not in vain. And as you keep sowing seeds, what you're doing is, God, I'm trusting you. When I don't see the rain, I'm trusting you. When I don't see the sun, I'm trusting you. When I don't see an answer, I'm trusting you. When I don't see I'm going to pay my bills, I am trusting you. I am trusting you. Keep trusting the shepherd. He will never lead you the wrong way, I promise. Next verse. He gave his life for us. Look at verse 12. But he that is a hireling, one that's hired, not the owner, not the shepherd, who do not own the sheep, they see it, the wolf come, and they lead the sheep, and they flee. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling, and he careth not for the sheep. God ain't going to ever leave you. God ain't never going to forsake you. God is never going to flee. God is never going to go away in your time of despair. God is never not going to show up when you need him. When the wolf comes in your life, when all the attacks are against you, you don't have to worry about this shepherd. He is on post, he is on point, and he is remaining steadfast all the way to the end. He'll fight every battle for you. He'll go through every storm with you. He will be with every shipwreck with you. He is there where you are at. Trust that shepherd. He will not fail you, ever. As you were away for 7 years, Charles, you know this better than anybody. He was there with you. The shepherd didn't leave you. Man, the shepherd, as that song Ashley sung, those sleepless nights, that bad place you were in, man, that's when you saw God the most. Charles said last week he was more free in prison than he was ever before he went into prison. That's because the shepherd was with him. The shepherd's not bound by our situation. The shepherd's in our situation. We can't lock the shepherd out from us. The shepherd is with us everywhere that we go. So God, I trust you. Wherever you lead me, I'll trust you. Whenever you speak to me, I'll trust you. God, wherever you show me, I'll trust you. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you until the very end. I'm not going to ever not trust you, because you know, God, what I need and I don't. I don't know what tomorrow holds, church. Do any of y'all know what tomorrow holds? Unless you're some kind of psychic up in here. None of you know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what 10 minutes from now holds. But God does. You don't know how the rest of your day is going to turn out, but God does. So God, I give you my life and I give you my everything. Just lead me. Let me follow you. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And look at verse 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Man, the Baptist and the Pentecostals can worship together. Can I get a witness? Because we are one fold. The quiet Lutherans who don't want to say amen are welcome in this place. The Catholics can come and hear about the glory of Jesus Christ because they are part of the family of God if their trust and faith is in Him. One fold. Every nation, every race, every time. You know, Sunday morning, Billy Graham said this years ago, Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week. Think about that. And not just about race, but just about even denominational. You know? We separate ourselves. People ask us all the time, what kind of church are you? We say we are a non-denominational church. Most people know what that means now. We first started the ministry that people were confused by that. Well, what does that mean? Baptist, Pentecost, what are you? I said, we're a church that teaches the blood of Jesus Christ. Surely all you need to know. Come inside for the rest. And see if you like it. That's all I would say. We are a church that teaches the blood of Jesus Christ. It is so amazing how we are still segregating ourselves and how there are some denominational people that still think they're the only one in truth. My God, what year are you in? What planet are you on? I know there are different ways we do things. Some folks don't like raising their hands. Some folks don't say amen. Some folks don't believe in all the gifts of the Spirit, all that. But man, if we believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh and died for our sins and rose for our righteousness, and through faith alone by Him, we are born again, that is the message. And everything else is just kind of, you know, we can deal with that. I remember Joe Brown, we first started coming to our church. We was in the fire department. And Joe Brown came out of a Baptist church up north. He got down here and got all confused. He says, man, they got independent Baptist, Southern Baptist. I was just a Baptist. What does that mean? He come down here. He was a Baptist up in Ohio. Went to a Baptist church, a big Baptist church. And so he came and he said, before I join, I got to ask a few questions. So we went to Arby's on 90 and had lunch one day after church on Sunday. And I was a little bit nervous. I'm like, oh, what's he going to ask me? You know? Because I know he's Baptist. What's he going to ask me? And he said, one thing he said, he says, how do you baptize? Because, you know, most churches baptize Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We baptize in Jesus' name. And so I told Joe, I said, well, when we baptize them, we baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I was waiting for the response. I was waiting for the hammer to come out. And he looked at me and goes, oh, okay. Well, as long as you don't baptize in the name of the devil, I'm okay. That's exactly what he said. As long as you don't baptize in the name of the devil, I'm okay. So I said, okay, great. But I remember that. He asked that question. And sometimes we can get caught up on some things instead of just seeing the big picture coming together as one body. Because we in here all look different. We act different. Different backgrounds. We got redneck. If you're a redneck, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Look, got some rednecks in here. Yeah. Got some rednecks. If you're a city person, more of a city person, raise your hand. Kind of a city person. One person, really? Yes, you are. Character redneck, you are. If you're born and raised in the South, raise your hand. Born and raised in the South. All right. Now, born and raised in the North, raise your hand. Woo! Yeah, that's North. And by the way, Florida is a Yankee state. I don't care. Anybody, Doc, is Florida not a Yankee state? All of us are different. Look at my hair. Look at Nick's hair. See the difference? But we're all one body. We're all one body. I know in Georgia and John, they're from Long Island, New York. And you'd be proud of me, John. The other day, I met somebody at a funeral yesterday, and they got talking to me. And I said, Long Island? Yes, very good. How'd you know? Because you sound just like a guy at my church. Exactly. John's accent is so thick, you have to really follow along. I'm going to go get the car, pull it for the church, John. Almost sounds Russian. It's so thick. And he's part of our body. And I love that. This New York person that was in a Catholic church up north is now part of our body here in this country church in the South. Man, one body. That's what the shepherd does. He brings them from the east, the west, the north, the south, from every background, every tribe, every language, every nation. He brings us into one body. We are one body in Christ, one Lord, one Spirit, and one baptism, the Bible says. We are part of that body, and I am thankful for that. So I trust my shepherd. I'm going to follow him wherever he leads me. Therefore, 17, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. I love verse 18. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. This shepherd on his own laid down his life for us. Crucifixion was not fun. It was a horrible, horrible way to die. He knew when he rode on that donkey, the week before his crucifixion, and they were saying, Hosanna, praise be God to the highest. Hosanna, our King, you've come to save us. And they're worshiping him. They're laying palm leaves down, and he's riding on this donkey, and they're all cheering. But Jesus knew what was about to happen. He probably even enjoy the celebration because he saw what was ahead of him. He's like, I'm not coming in to save Israel in a national way, a natural way. I'm coming to save a people forever. And when they brought him before the high priest, and they asked him, are you really the Son of God? Who are you? That's blasphemy. Who are you? He didn't even open his mouth to try to fight. He didn't rebuke. He didn't try to get out of it. They took him away and arrested him. We know the story of all that. They beat him, and they spit on him, and they mocked him, and put a crown of thorns on him, and then they crucified him, and put nails in his feet and his hands and hung him up there for the whole world to see. And he gasped for breath for hours and hours before he died, a torturous death. But then he died and gave up the ghost. He did that all on his own for us. He went into battle knowing his destiny was to die. But he also knew he would rise again. And he did. Because he says, I gave my life. I laid it down. And he said, I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. He laid it down, and then he came back. And when he came back the third day, that broke the back of sin and death for us. This was the greatest memorial we have as a people. Is Jesus Christ dying for us. This shepherd who now leads my life, that I trust with my whole heart. I don't have to see it. I just trust him. Just a very small example of what Jewel was saying. I just want to share it because I'm amazed how God works. And it's not maybe a big deal, but to me it just was showing God was there.
I sent someone some money this week. I felt led to send somebody some money. And believe me, I'm not flowing an extra cash laying around. But I wanted to send this person some money. So I put in the mailbox Friday, mailed some money to a person in a card. And I even told Mel, I said, you know, I really don't even have this to give, but I just feel like I need to do this. And I said, you know, I don't, you know, as most of you do, once you get your paycheck and pay your bills, you're done. And my bills were paid, and this was extra, and I'm like, I don't even have it, but I just feel led to do it. So I told myself, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I did. I sent the money in the mail Friday. Yesterday, I got a card from somebody unexpected with the same money in it that I sent to that person. The very next day. Is that not amazing? God provided that. See, God saw my heart. And then God brought it back the next. Man, I serve a 24-hour God. I mean, that's a 24-hour turnaround. I'm like, hallelujah, praise God. And then God said, I dare you to do it again. I'm like, man, that's pretty good. So our shepherd does take care of us. And it reminded me of what Jewel said when she, you know, had that unexpected money come in. I thought about that very story happened to me yesterday. It was just amazing. To close out here, the last three verses. There was a division among the Jews. Of course there was. And they were saying, this man hath a devil. He is mad. Why do you listen to him? Why are you hearing him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. And I want to close out with this verse. I got a point with this last phrase. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? There's a whole message right there. The devil's never going to open your eyes to see the truth of God. Only God does that. The shepherd can open your eyes this morning to see him in full truth of who he is. And the shepherd ain't up here in your life with that big old staff beating Randy upside the head. Bad Randy. Bad Randy. That ain't our shepherd. Our shepherd's saying, follow me, Randy. But Lord, I ain't sure. Trust me. Follow me. But this isn't kind of what I was thinking about. Just trust me. I went out of town a couple weeks ago, put my GPS in. The way it had me going, it just didn't seem right. I kept double-checking that thing. I said, this don't feel right going to this destination. I'd be going this way. But you know what? It sure got me right there. It took me exactly where to go. I would have went that way on my own. I'd probably ended up somewhere 3 miles away, three states away. But you know what? I followed that GPS. It took me right to where I was going. The shepherd takes us right where he wants us to go. When we have our eyes open with truth to see the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the compassion, the forgiveness, the grace of our Savior, then our life will be changed. If you're holding on to an angry, judging, wrathful God, you're never going to see the shepherd. Not my shepherd. Because, man, my shepherd ain't about to beat me up. My shepherd is to lead me out. My shepherd is to beat others up that try to attack my life. When the voice of the enemy rises up, that shepherd is fighting for me, fighting for me, fighting those thoughts, fighting those tendencies, fighting that. My shepherd is helping me listen and follow him. Whatever there that takes you, follow him. You may have hard decisions to make in your life. Follow the shepherd. And listen to his voice. Because you know the shepherd's voice. You know it. Mothers, you know your children's voice. If Tay's in Walmart and he's lost his mama and there's 50 other kids around you and you hear Tay say, mama, you know his voice. 50 of the kids could be out there. But when Tay says mama, Kayla knows that's my kid. There's 50 mamas in that aisle. But when Tay says mama, mama knows that voice. Our shepherd knows us, and we know him. Listen to the voice of the shepherd, and don't follow no other. If you are bound in fear today, that's not the shepherd you're following. If you're bound with discouragement and oppression, that's not the shepherd you're following. Well, maybe the devil, maybe God's trying to beat me down to pick me up. That's not the shepherd. The shepherd is always there to protect you, to keep you, to fight for you, and to lead you into each pasture of your life in each season. That's why I love that song, God of All My Days. The seasons change. Man, my season changes. I'm not 25 no more. I know I look it, but I'm not 25 no more.
My season has changed, but God hasn't. And you know what? God knew I'd be in this season. God knew you'd be in this season. Teresa, God knew you would be in this season that you're in now that you may not like, but God knew you would be here, and yet he loves you. Seasons always yield fruit. Always. We're in garden season right now, right? We're planting stuff. That's going to yield fruit. The fall time will be in what they call leaf season. You'll be reckoned you got blisters because fall produces the falling of the leaves. Every season produces something. And so if you're in a season you don't like, trust God, it's going to produce something. Something good for you that maybe you can't see right now. So quit giving the devil all this ammunition with your negative talk and with giving him credit and glory. And, you know, everybody you run into, you're telling them all your problems. I'm going to tell you something. I heard an old-timer say this one time, and it's a true statement. Y'all have heard it too. I ran into a guy one time and said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Well, it wouldn't really help tell you, would it?" "Yeah, not really." "Preach it. Have a great day, buddy." I mean, think about that. Ain't going to change nothing. So why do we keep giving the devil ammunition, talking defeat all the time whenever we have a promise he gave us life more abundantly? Start living that way, man. Start living in that life more abundantly. Get out of the shackles you're in and realize the devil is under my feet, the shepherd's leading me, and I am going to follow him. He gave me life more abundantly. I don't have to live at the level of the devil. I love that. Don't have to live at the level of the devil no more. I can rise above that because my shepherd, you know what a hook can do? It can pull you out, right? Here's what I think about the shepherd's hook. I used to love the old Tarzan, the old black and white Tarzans. Grew up watching them. And the one thing I loved about those jungles, they had those quicksand things. And they fall out. That used to be one of my worst fears. Oh, my gosh. You're in that quicksand. It pulls you under. I don't know what makes it do that. I guess there ain't no bottom. But anyway, it pulls you under. And the more you fight, the more you sink, they say. Well, here's how I picture our shepherd. You're in quicksand today. You're falling. You're in a place you're stuck and you can't get out of. Think about that shepherd's hook at the end. He takes that hook for you to grab onto and pulls you out. That's what our shepherd does. He's not going to leave us in that pit to sink. He's going to pull you out. In the meantime, trust God. When there's pain in your body, trust God. When there's no money to pay the bills, trust God. When you're so overcome with worry and stress and fear you can't function, begin to trust God. And as you begin to see the shepherd and all that he is, you won't stay the same. Because you'll start saying, "Man, my shepherd is bigger than my pain. And my shepherd's bigger than my fear. And my shepherd's bigger than my oppression. My shepherd's bigger than my problem. My shepherd, I'm going to follow my shepherd." No matter what you're battling, God's going to get you through. Our seasons change. You know, I mean, we have in this church, you know, we got four generations of people in this church. We got from Taze to Grandma, four generations in this church. And all of us are in different seasons, different places. But we all got the same shepherd if we're God's people. We got the same shepherd. Like the old song, "I'm the God of California, the God of Tennessee, the God of New York City. He's the God of you and me. I know God. God don't never change. I know God. And Jesus is his name. He's the God of California, the God of Tennessee, the God of New York City, the God of you and me. I know God." Remember that old song? Man, he's faithful. Let's sing that. Come up here. Because I want y'all to get this, that the shepherd is the shepherd of all of us that are in him, no matter where we are from. Layton, get up here on these drums, man. You're going to hear this song. It's a great song. Remember the first time George Ann heard that, she got so excited, I said New York City. Well, it came a year later. A year later, It would have been like a $150 toll, $1.50. I get a bill from the toll people in Florida 1 year later at my house for $26. But you're kind of going against my message, honey. Trust the shepherd. Bad devil. Trust the shepherd. You ready, Marjorie?
Yep, I'm ready.
Y'all stand up with this. You're going to like this song. He's your shepherd, wherever you're at.
He's got up on the platform. He's got back at the door. He's got in the aiming corner, and he's got forevermore. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God when the lightning flashes. God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. I know God.
Is God.
God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. He's God all three in one.
I know God is God.
God don't ever change. I know God. He's God in New York City, and he's God in you and me.
I know God is God.
God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God of the Hebrew children. He's God of Abraham. He's God in the fiery furnace. He's the God, the great I am.
God is God.
God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God that gave us Jesus. He's God that brought us out. He's God that rules in heaven. He's the God that makes me shout. I know God.
Yes.
He's God that filled me with the Holy Ghost. He's God that makes me whole.
I know God.
Yes.
I love that. God that healed my body, God that saved my soul, God that filled me with the Holy Ghost, and God, something else. Anyway, it was great. Very good. Thank you very much. Y'all be seated for a minute. Ushers, come on up here, receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Let you get out of here and enjoy the rest of your day.